कुंजा बिहारी जय यशोदानंदन भज जन Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna. Good morning, everyone. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Verse 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll do word for word first. This chapter is titled Scheduled Incarnations. Sarge. In the beginning of the creation. Tapaha. Penance. Aham. Myself. Rishaya. Sages. Nava. Nine. Ye Prajeshaha. those who would generate. Sthane, in the middle, while maintaining the creation. Atha, certainly. Dharma, religion. Makha, Lord Vishnu. Manu, the father of mankind. Amara, the demigods deputed to control the affairs of maintenance. Avanishaha, and the kings of different planets. Ante, at the end. Tu, but. Adharma, irreligion. Hara, Lord Shiva. Manuvasa, subject to anger. Asura Adhyaha, atheists, the enemies of the devotees. Maya, energy. Vibhutaya,
powerful representatives.
Imaha, all of them. Purushakti Bhajaha, of the Supreme Powerful Lord. So it's Brahma Samhita meter, since Lord Brahma is speaking. Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha. Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha. Sthane tadharma makhamanva maravanisha. Sthane tadharma makhamanva maravanisha. Ante tva dharma haramanyu vasa suradhyā. Ante tva dharma haramanyu vasa suradhyā. Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhaja. Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhaja. Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha. Sthane tadharma makhamanva maravanisha. Tadharma makhamanva maravanisha. Ante tadharma haramanyu vashasuradhyā. Dharma haramanyu vashasuradhyā. Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhaja. Please chant.
Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye
prajesha.
Sarge tapoham
Vaja.
Sarge tapoham rishayo navaye prajesha.
Sthane tadharma makhamanva maravanisha.
Sthane tadharma makhamanva maravanisha.
Ante tadharma haramanyu vasa suradhyā.
Ante tadharma haramanyu vasa suradhyā.
Maya vibhutaya
vibhutya imapa pura shakti bhaja
sarge tapoham vishayona vayeka jesha
sarge tapoham vishayona vayeka jesha Sane tadharma makamanva maraganisha
Ante tadharma haramanju vasa suradhyaya
Ante tadharma haramanju vasa suradhyaya Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhaja Sarve tapoham vishayo na vaye prajesha Sane ta dharma makaman va maravanisha Ante ta dharma haramanyu vashashuradhyaya Maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhaja Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. At the beginning of creation there are penance, myself, Brahma and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. Then during the maintenance of the creation there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers and the kings of different planets. But at the end, there is irreligion and then Lord Shiva and the atheist full of anger, etc. All of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the supreme power, the Lord. Purport. The material world is created by the energy of the Lord, which is manifested in the beginning of the creation by the penance of Brahmaji, the first living being in the creation. And then there are the nine Prajapatis, known as great sages. In the stage when the creation is maintained, there are devotional service to Lord Vishnu or factual religion, the different demigods and the kings of different planets who maintain the world. At last, when the creation is preparing to wind up, There is first the principle of irreligion, then Lord Shiva along with the atheists full of anger. But all of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Therefore Brahma, Vishnu and Mahadev, Shiva are different incarnations of the different modes of material nature. Vishnu is the Lord of the mode of goodness, Brahma is the Lord of the mode of passion, and Shiva is the Lord of the mode of ignorance. Ultimately, the material creation is but a temporary manifestation meant to give the chance of liberation to the conditioned souls who are entrapped in the material world. And one who develops the mode of goodness under the protection of Lord Vishnu has the greatest chance of being liberated by following the Vaishnava principles and thus being promoted to the kingdom of God. No more to return to this miserable material world. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mintam Yuna Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this verse is actually is kind of a culmination of a long conversation which is still is going on still, but the conversation which Narada and Brahma are having. And actually, this verse is very similar to another verse in chapter 6 of the same canto, because Narada and Brahma have been having this conversation since chapter 5, in which Narada asks Brahmaji that, my dear father, what's the source of your knowledge and under whose protection are you working? Are you like the topmost, or what's your real position? Do you alone create all these entities with material elements by your personal energy? So Brahma starts answering those questions very methodically in chapter 5 and chapter 6. And then in chapter 6 in verse 32, he actually says, almost similar to what he's saying now. He's saying, by his will I create, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself in his eternal form as a personality of Godhead maintains everything. He is a powerful controller of these three energies. So we see that Lord Brahma is actually coming like full circle topic to what he was saying before, but also he's also discussing the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we are very tiny. And Prabhupada says in the purport, and also says in the verse itself, that ultimately all of these are different representatives of the energy of the Supreme Power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's try to unravel today's verse. Just wanted to say that so Brahmaji is talking about creation, and if we go further up, we see in Canto 3 is actually where he's just mentioning. So you can think in the first two cantos, if we study the whole Bhagavatam very methodically, the first two cantos are just like setting the stage, and the third canto is like specifically sarga, like creation, primary creation, and then the fourth canto is talking about the secondary creation of visarga. So Narada's in this verse, Brahmaji is talking about the three gunavatars, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. And if we divide it, we see the verse, the first part is the creation plan, then we can say the maintenance plan, and then the destruction plan. That's how I divided it up. So in the first part he says, Brahma, he says, penance, myself and the Prajapatis. So penance, we know about the penance of Lord Brahma, that when he first was created and he heard the word tapaha, tapaha, tapaha means penance, and he couldn't figure it out. And then Mother Saraswati actually appeared and she gave him the mantra, the bija mantra, klim krishnaya govindaya gopi janna vallabhaya swaha. And by just meditating on that mantra, he actually became fully enlightened, and he actually was able to understand all of the Vedas, and he was able to get his ability to create the Srishti Shakti. And then Krishna's flute music, you know, he heard the second Kham Bija mantra, and then he was like fully realized, and he spoke the very famous verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So the Brahma Samhita, of course, Lord Brahma is speaking here, but Brahma Samhita also is a composition by Lord Brahma. And many of us who are, many of those devotees who are here, they every day after Mangal Arati, they read the whole part of the translation of the Brahma Samhita. But for those of us who don't attend so regularly, I thought I will just point out, because in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma has actually very much, many, many verses are talking about these three guna avatars. And so I will just take the opportunity to read some of those verses. So about creation, so we'll go to text 18, in which Brahmaji is saying, when Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create this universe, a golden lotus springs from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stem is the abode of Brahma, presenting Brahma Lok or Satya Lok. And then verse 22, because this is like jumping all over. Verse 22 talks about the divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is in every way related by the spiritual tie with all souls and is the origin of four-faced Brahma versed in the four Vedas. And then on coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions, but he could see nothing but darkness in all directions. And then Saraswati said to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom, O Brahma, this mantra will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. The mantra which we mentioned earlier, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha. And there's one more verse I wanted to quote, verse 28. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all the Vedas, with this hymn. And the thing is, all of the truths of the Vedas were revealed to him by meditating on the mantra given by Mother Saraswati. And in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati actually says that readers are requested to study and try to enter into the spirit of this hymn with great care and attention as a regular daily function, which is, maybe we can all say it together. Chintamani prakarasarma sukalpa vriksha lakshavriteshu surabira bipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shakta samramagya sivamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So read the translation for the benefit of those of us who might not know the translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desire, in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. So as we move along in this first part, the creation plan, Brahmaji mentions Prajapatis. So Prajapatis are nine Prajapatis. So I actually went to Canto 4, Chapter 1, which I wanted to see what are the Prajapatis, if they are listed anywhere. So I was looking in Vedabase, I didn't really find like a list anywhere. So I went through Chapter 1 of Canto 4, it's called Genealogical Table of the Daughters of Manu. So, and Manu gave his daughters in marriage to some of the Prajapatis. And Kardama Muni also gave his daughter. So this is the list which I came up with, and maybe there will be more than what, nine, at least there are more than nine here. So, but I know most of them are, they produced a lot of progeny, and actually all of us can trace our ancestry back to one of the Prajapatis. So Ruchi was mentioned first, Ruchi, and of course we all know about Daksha, Marichi, and then Atri Muni, who I'll come back to in a moment. Atri Muni, Angira Muni, Pulastya. I was just wondering, Pulastya is the same Pulastya who was carrying Govardhan, right? He's the same Pulastya, does anybody know? Yes? Okay, so he brought Govardhan to Brind, like he was forced to leave him in Vrindavan. Pulastya, then Pulaha, Kratu, Vashishta, and Bhrigu. And I was thinking Swayabhuma Manu also would be considered a Prajapati because he created a lot of progeny, and we have because his daughters were all the ones who were also involved in the creation of the progeny. So I just wanted to mention Atri Muni because him and his wife Anasuya, they really wanted one of the three Gunavatars to be their son, and they were doing a lot of austerities. Atri Muni was totally not eating anything, not drinking anything. He was standing on one foot for the longest time. And then all three of the Gunavatars, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, got very pleased with him, and they appeared before him. And then he's like, well, I only wanted one of you as my son. They said, they were so pleased, they gave him benediction. So he had three sons. And Soma, the moon god, is the partial representation of Brahma, who was born to Atri and Anasuya. And then Dattatreya, who is the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. And then, who knows who was the expansion Durvasa. Of... Yes, Durvasa Muni is the son who was a partial representation of Shiva. And we know Durvasa Muni gets angry sometimes, the drop of a hat, and he curses people. So we know where that comes from. Because Lord Shiva is the... he's in the mode of... Well, he represents the mode of ignorance. And he is also responsible for the destruction. Of course, he's the most highly advanced, best devotee of Lord Krishna. So now we're coming to the maintenance plan, in which the verse says, during the maintenance of the creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets. So Lord Vishnu actually... he's actually a Purushavatar because he's an expansion of Lord Krishna, and we understand that he is called Kala, portion of a plenary portion, as opposed to Lord Balaram, who is called Amsa. He's non-different from Krishna. So Lord Vishnu is one of the a Purusha avatar. And also in the Brahma Samhita, we have elaborate description about Lord Vishnu. And the very famous verse about his expansion of Lord Krishna into the different Vishnu murtis is verse 46. Prabhuji, if you can you put up that verse? Brahma Samhita 546? The one, that candle verse, the verse in which it's described that there's one candle and then many different candles are lit by that one candle. And Deeparchir eva hidasantaramabhyupetya Deepayate vivritahetu samana dharma Yastadrigeva hijavishnutaya vibhuti Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So it says the light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. So the original candle is Krishna and he's lighting all the different candles, but he still remains the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the, I'll just read a little bit of the purport. The presiding deities of Haridam, viz. Hari, Narayan, Vishnu, etc., are the subjective portions of Krishna and they are being described. The majestic manifestation of Krishna is Narayan, Lord of Vaikuntha. And it's mentioned further, this is a very long purport, and later in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta is mentioning that Narayan actually has got the 60 majestic attributes of Lord Govinda. They are present in Narayan, 60 of the attributes which Krishna has. And then the expansion of Narayan is Karanodakshay Vishnu or Mahavishnu. And there his subjective portion or plenary portion is Shirodakshay, Garbhodakshay. So it is Karanodakshay Vishnu, then Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And then expansion of Garbhodakshay Vishnu is Shirodakshay Vishnu. And Vishnu actually indicates all-pervading, omnipresent and omniscient personality, and we know that it is Kshirodakshay Vishnu who is present as a super soul in everybody's heart. And Vishnu of course represents, is the embodied form of Sattva-gun, mode of goodness, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, and that he is quite distinct from that of Shambhu, Lord Shiva. And so further in this purport it's described that Lord Vishnu never, even though he is connected with the material world in the sense that he's expansions are coming, but he never gets contaminated by any of the mundane qualities. Whereas Lord Shiva has some adulteration, as it is called, adulteration. And Lord Brahma, of course, we know that Lord Brahma is a jiva, and he's the topmost jiva. And sometimes when Lord Brahma, there's nobody eligible to be Lord Brahma, Krishna himself takes the position. And I recall a couple of weeks ago when Hidananda Maharaj was giving class, and he was Chaitanya Charitamrita class, and then he went through and it said, Brahma is not a living entity. And he was like, he stopped for a moment. But yeah, so that Brahma was not a living entity because Krishna, as an expansion, took the post of Lord Brahma. So Vishnu is Godhead himself and the two other guna avatars, and all other demigods are subjugated, are subservient to him or subordinate to him. So that's this is about the candle. And I'm going to read two more verses from this Brahma Samhita about the maintenance. Where is verse 11? It's such a nice book, such a small book, but so filled with unbelievable purports by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I remember when my son decided, and he was in 6th grade or 7th grade, he wanted to homeschool. So I said, okay, this is your language arts. And he had to start looking at the dictionary right away. The first purport, he couldn't figure out many of the words. So yeah, very, 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 very highly literary work. So text 11, the Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands of heads, eyes, hands. He is the source of thousands of avatars in his thousands of subjective portions. He is a creator of thousands of individual souls. The verse is sahasra, 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 and every sentence is sahasra. And text 15 says, the same Mahavishnu, so a little bit more details, the same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb, Brahma from his right limb, and from the space between his two eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine manifested halo. So that's something more we understand, how they were created, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. So that is the creation plan. And although actually another thing which I wanted to mention is that creation is actually the most difficult. Maintenance. Maintenance plan. This maintenance is the most difficult. And even if we see in our mundane world, I teach civics, so I have a civics analogy in my head that we're teaching the executive branch to the students, and the executive branch comprises of the president, the vice president, and all the federal bureaucracy, as it is called, and it's also biggest branch. There is 4 million people who work for the executive branch. So that's the biggest branch, and as we can understand, you know, the creation of the laws, you know, you can make laws, but somebody has to enforce them. So that's what the maintenance is. You maintain whatever is being given to you. And as far as for us, I was thinking that we are being given this task by Srila Prabhupada to take care of this ISKCON society, to maintain it, grow it. And we all, as we came in, we were covered by modes of passion and ignorance, but we have to come to the mode of goodness, and of course, transcendental goodness. And to maintain this ISKCON mission of Srila Prabhupada, we need to be in that mode of goodness and engage in all of the, you know, one of the nine processes or all of the nine processes of bhakti, because that is our penance. Chanting the holy name and the four regulative principles, and so the regulative principles of freedom, as we follow those, that will be our, that's our penance. And when the penance, just like Lord Brahma, he got his power, we can actually get that strength from continuously engaging in that penance. And we can actually, you know, do like devotees are doing. Devotees all over the world are doing such great things for Srila Prabhupada's mission because of that purity. Srila Prabhupada said, purity is the force. And the purity just comes. And it's very simple. Very simple formula which Srila Prabhupada has given us, and we can all actually just, sometimes we might feel we are such a tiny person, you know, just in this small little town of Alachua. What can I do to serve Srila Prabhupada? You know, there are hundreds of devotees here, what can I do? There's not much need for me, but actually you'll be surprised. Each one of us, whatever we are doing in our corner in Alachua, by continuing to chant, by continuing to serve our home deities, by serving the deities at the temple, taking part in the programs, and just the energy of this whole county gets so strongly potent that when devotees are going out, some of the devotees go out to, you know, share Krishna consciousness with others, the energy itself permeates and people become more and more favorable. And I think I was mentioning this last time, I heard about that. You know, you might, actually yesterday somebody came and they got, one Mataji, she has just moved here, and she said, I want to get some books. So I was curious, I said, so where are you going to distribute them? She said, I want to keep them in my bag, you know, wherever I go, I can give, you know, maybe at the grocery store or someplace. And I was thinking, so lovely, that's something which, if each one of us does that, we are actually touching somebody with Srila Prabhupada's mood. And even they might say no, you know, this person said no, that person said no, but every time somebody says no, there's a little crack You touched them and that opening happened. And the next time somebody else, one of our other devotees, touches them, the crack becomes a little wider. So we will be able to open that gap, and then maybe the 10th time somebody approaches them, they might accept the book. And the 10th person might think, with my ability I was able to. But actually we have to thank all of the people who came before me, because they saw the Harinam. Because I was like last week driving back from here and I saw Harinam in the afternoon. Harinam going right here at our gas station on 441 and 235. And I was feeling so appreciative that the devotees are making this. I mean, the cars are just whizzing past, but that of course Krishna is very much pleased that the effort is being made, and then the jivas are getting the benefit just by getting a little touch. The touch is happening. Actually, many years ago, we went, and Mother Ekadashi and myself, we were going to Jacksonville, and we took some books with us. We said, hey, we should maybe distribute books on the way from here to Jacksonville on before I-10, there's a bunch of little towns. We'll distribute books over there. So we went to this town, I think it's called Lake Butler, I think. And there were some motels and all over there. So we went into a motel, the clerk was sitting there, and we showed her the book, and she said, oh, I saw you all chanting. So in those days, some of the devotees were going to, they were calling it Every Town and Village program, and you were going to small towns, and they were doing Harinam. So she had seen the Harinam on one of the streets, one of the corners there. I saw it. She immediately took the Gita, she gave us a donation. So like small little town, Lake Butler, in the middle of nowhere, but because of the devotees' efforts, because of this desire to serve Srila Prabhupada. So yeah, so that was, I was thinking about the purity and the penance that this is our penance. Coming here at 4:30 in the morning, when it was 29 degrees outside, was the penance. And thank you for all the devotees who are here, who continue to keep this place so beautifully clean and ready for the seva in the morning. Very nice, thank you so much. So now we're going to move to the destruction plan. The third part of the verse says, at the end there is irreligion, and then Lord Shiva, and the atheist full of anger, etc. So irreligion is actually, in the name of religion, people are doing irreligion. In the name, they're saying, oh, we are religious. Like we see many, many people nowadays, they will, taking care of the environment, taking care of the, or doing the calisthenic yoga, and they feel they're very spiritual because they're doing those, all of those things, which are definitely the mode of goodness. But as we know, goodness, we need to transcend the goodness. And many of the people are doing so many things which are so abominable, and like slaughtering animals, but they feel that they are very religious. There's nothing wrong because they have no souls. How unfortunate it is. We have this conception that I am serving God, but I can kill so many animals and I can still be a religious person. So as this grows more and more, Lord Shiva becomes angry, and then he takes part in his Tandava dance, his dance of destruction. And of course, there are the atheists who also are so angry. So all of those lead to the destruction. So Brahma Samhita also talks a lot about Lord Shiva. So I'll go back to Brahma Samhita, and this verse is open right here. The function of Shambhu or Lord Shiva in relation to the jivas, the living entities, is that this universe enshrining the mundane egotistic principle has originated from Lord Shiva. So the ego we have, this is in text 16, has originated from Lord Shiva. And then we have the very famous yogurt verse, text 45, in which we can maybe say that verse together. Shiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tatha prithagasti reto yashambhutam api tatha samupaiti karyan Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this verse, text 45, says, just as milk is transformed into, you say curd, which is yogurt, just as milk is transformed into yogurt by the action of acids, but yet the effect, yogurt, is neither the same as nor different from its cause, the milk, So I adore the Prime Noble Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu, Lord Shiva, is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So this analogy of milk and yogurt, you will say, is this still milk because yogurt is formed? So Lord Shiva is that kind of transformation. And in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, Shambhu is not a second godhead other than Krishna. Those who entertain such discriminating sentiment commit a great offense against the Supreme Lord. The supremacy of Shambhu is subservient to that of Govinda. And further up he says, Govinda manifests himself as Gunavatar in the form of Shambhu, who is the separated portion of Govinda imbued with the principle of his subjective plenary portion. And further up he describes that Lord Shambhu actually has, Lord Shiva has 50 attributes of Krishna plus 5 more. 50 attributes of individual souls are manifest in a far greater measure in Shambhu, and 5 additional attributes not attainable by us, by the Jivas, are also found in him. So Lord Shiva cannot be called a Jiva. He is the Lord of the Jivas, but yet partakes of the nature of a separated portion of Govinda. And of course we know that Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee, and about him it said in the Bhagavatam, Vaishnavam Yatha Shambhu. And he teaches, okay, I'll just see what it says. He teaches pious duties, dharma, as stepping stones to the attainment of spiritual service in the various tantra shastras, etc. Like when he's talking to Parvati, many places he's talking about the service to Lord Krishna is the most supreme. And subservience of Brahma, what is this? Oh, there's another 2 verses, kind of summing up, some summing up verses. Thereupon the great person, the same great personal godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati and Shambhu, entering into the mundane universe, plays the pastimes of preservation, creation and destruction of the world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world. Hence, it being perverted, the Supreme Lord, identical with Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with the goddess Yoga Nidra, the constituent of his own chit potency, full of the ecstatic trance of eternal bliss appertaining to his own divine personality. And how Lord Brahma is subservient, that's mentioned in verse 48. Verse 48 of the Brahma Samhita. Brahma and the other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the Mahavishnu. One exhalation, that's how long they live. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose subjective personality, Mahavishnu, is the portion of portion. Also in today's, the other person who's mentioned as far as maintenance is the king of different planets. And in the Brahma Samhita, one of the king of the planet is mentioned in verse 42. So I thought I'll just finish up with the Brahma Samhita in this, with this verse, text 52, which is a famous verse. Yachakshuresha savita sakala grihanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha teja yasyagya brahmati samrita kala chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So because the maintenance is happening, Lord Vishnu is the maintainer, but he needs, he has demigods and then he has got the kings. So this verse talks about the sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, as is the eye of this world. Adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. So this is the program of the Gunavatars. And the concluding statement of this today's verse, and also mentioned twice in the purport, that all of them, all of these Gunavatars are different representative manifestations of the energy of the Supreme Power, the Lord. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, but all of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are different incarnations, and all three are meant to give liberation to the conditioned soul. So they are giving us chance to return to the spiritual world by tapaha, by devotional service, and we can actually regain our position in the spiritual world. I just wanted to end with that, you know, we say, why is Krishna considered supreme? So different, since we're talking about Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma of course says Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the most supreme cause of all causes. Lord Shiva says in the Padma Puran, and many other places it's mentioned, Lord Shiva is saying to Parvati, of all the worship, the best worship is that of Lord Vishnu. And what does Krishna say? In Bhagavad Gita he says, Matta Paratram Nanyat. He says, there's no true superior to me. So Krishna actually says, there's no true superior to me. Everyone rests upon me just as pearls are strung on a thread. And I wanted to just end with the very sweet, just a mention of how these personalities, these three great personalities, even though they are controlling, creating, maintaining, and in charge of all of the destruction, they want to perform tapasya in Braj. And because Vrindavan is so special. So Brahmaji appears in Braj as, how does Brahmaji appear in Braj? Other than Prangavinda Prabhu. Hare Krishna. How does Brahmaji appear in Braj? Yes, he appears. He actually takes part. He becomes the four hills in Varshana. His four faces are the four hills. So what are the, one of them, I only knew one. One of them was Mangad, Dangad. Oh yeah, Mayur Kuti we see from the other side. Dangad, Mangad, Vangad and Bilaskar. So those are the four hills in Varshana, and Brahmaji has taken, because he wanted to do penance, he wanted to be in Braj. And can you imagine the most powerful creator, he's become an inanimate hills in Vrindavan, in Varsana. And then Lord Shiva actually becomes very much greedy, transcendentally greedy, and he says he also wants to become a hill in Braj. And he takes the form of Nandishwar, Nandishwar Parvat. So he becomes Nandishwar. And then, of course, I think you said Gopeshwar Mahadev, then he actually bathes in the Mansarovar, and then he takes the form of Gopeshwar Mahadev. And then Lord Vishnu says, what am I going to do in Vaikuntha? I need to go to Vrindavan too. So of course, he appears as Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai Ho in Braj Mandal. Girirajo Hare Rupam is not different from Vishnu. So this land is so special. Of course, we know Narada Muni takes the form of Naradiya Gopi, he also took a bath. So yeah, so all of their great personalities in the universe, they want to come and be in Vrindavan. So I thought I'll just mention that because it's so special. And we can end now. I'll just say the verse again. Well, this is a long verse. At the beginning of creation, there are penance, myself, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. Then during the maintenance of the creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets, but at the end there is irreligion, and the Lord Shiva and the atheist full of anger, etc. All of them are different representative manifestation of the energy of the supreme power, the Lord. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions or comments, I'd appreciate them. Mother Guru Prasad, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your nice class. Did your research very well. I just want to say about this preaching, you know, when I go through the toll booth, I usually say, thank you, Hare Krishna. And sometime once in a while, the person will say, oh, what does that mean? And I said, it's the name of God, it brings good fortune to you. So a couple of weeks ago, I was driving through, and I paid the guy, and he gave me a receipt, I was driving. He said, wait a second, you didn't say. And I said, didn't say what? He said, that thing that bring you good fortune. Hare Krishna. And I said, oh yeah, Hare Krishna. I said, you should say it too. And he said, I know it, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, you know, they hear it all the time, you know, and he won't let me go until I said it. And then And then I drove up the other day to another phone booth, and as soon as we stopped, I rolled the window down. I was talking. The guy said, "Hare Krishna." I was so stunned. He said, "I know what it means. It brings all good fortune."
Hare Bol.
And I immediately took out a book and I gave it to him. And I thought, wow, you know, days and days or times of fasting and rub off.
Lovely. Hare Bol. Yes. You're hitting the same person many, many times. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
I want to share one Sankirtan story too. And it is, reminded me when you said how it's not first time that they crack. So many, as more we approach, maybe even to the same person. So it happened in Sweden years ago. And actually it was late, I was waiting for my ride. And so there were two men standing there, and I'm like, okay, I can offer them a book. And he said, "Oh, they already approached me so many times, and every time I said no, I'm more of science person, and no way. I'm not taking specially, I'm not giving money for this." And I'm like, okay. So I didn't want to, it was late, I didn't want to talk to them, and I'm waiting for my ride. And but they kept talking, and they kept just saying something that I didn't like, how they treat the books and the moment. So I'm like, "Okay, sir, what's your occupation?" And he said, "Oh, I'm a doctor." I'm like, "What kind of a doctor?" "I'm a gynecologist." And I'm so proud, and I said, and I'm like, "I have nothing to lose, and I don't like their attitude." So I'm like, "Oh, you are the one who kills the babies." And he just looked at me and he said, "No, I deliver them." I said, "You don't do abortion?" "Of course I do." I said, "So you killed the babies in the womb?" And he said, "But they want it, they pay for it." I said, "Oh, sir, you are educated man. Do you know where Italy is?" He said, "Of course, I do know everything." I said, "Have you heard about the mafia in Italy?" He said, "Yeah. What they do, they get paid to kill." And I said, "Oh, my wife is here, have nice evenings there." He said, wait, give me these books. I said, "No, I'm not giving them to you, especially not for free." And he said, "Here," and he gave me a really big donation. And I was still holding my books, and he stole them out of my hands.
Prabhuji, Radhikesh Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much Mataji for that beautiful pravachan. I know the process of creation can be very complex. I'm from a Hindu background, so I know the different Puranas have their own versions of what the creation process is. But you managed to do a very, you know, very calmly presented it, so thank you very much for that. In the beginning, you did mention that there was the Lord Vishnu and then the lotus flower stem from his navel, and then Lord Brahma came, and subsequently then the process of creation started. But in between there was the mention of Saraswati Devi, where she came and she gave him the mantra. That's how he became initiated, so to speak, for the process of creation. Is there any mention of the origin of Saraswati Devi in that process?
She's called the consort of Lord. She's a consort of the Lord, and so Mahavishnu. She's a his wife, and I am not sure of the origins. Prabhuji,
anybody? Bhagisha just Bhagisha is another name of Saraswati. Bhagisha just Bhadane. Lakshmi just Bhakshasu. Just the reader is Sambit from Rishina Hambari in the prayers. If you go to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's on the wall. You can find out this Siddhanta. The origin of Saraswati is the internal potency of the Lord who resides in the heart. That when we connect in through Krishna consciousness, three Prabhupada says, Madhulila chapter 7, 99 verse, he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered thousands and thousands of people. Nowadays,
His representative also delivering thousands of people in the world. I don't know who Prabhupada was referring. You know, he was referring to himself, but he didn't want to say it. He said, what does that mean? Prabhupada asked that. And then he answered, means this spiritual potency transmit from the heart of guru to conditioned soul. Then the deliverance is done. So one of them is that sambit potency. The sambit potency gives us feeling and relationship. Mm. Relationship and feeling. So that's the origin of Saraswati. Mm. Which also manifests as a flute.
Mm.
As a whole explanation given from that end.
Did you say relationship and feeling?
Yeah, that's sambit potency.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Oh, Madhya Madhumati.
I was appreciating the point that you were making, that how each one of us do something, you know, are important to do, you know, doing something, not to take it small. I was thinking, like maybe a month ago, I was just going and getting gas right on 235. And it was one of these freezing days like today. And as I pulled in, I saw Tirukram and Keshava were doing kirtan there. And he had gloves on and he was, you know, banging the mridanga. And practically speaking, every other car went by were beeping.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, wow, this is so nice. If I hadn't come here, I wouldn't have seen what goes on sometimes, you know. And so, yes, they are preparing people. And the other day, a couple of days ago, on Wednesday, sometimes ladies go out on Santa Fe and talk to the students. And then apparently this Sunday, one of the students that we talked to actually came to the Sunday feast. And I thought, oh my God, actually, I guess something does happen when you go out there. It's not like it's useless or, you know. It's just that a soul came and saw the deities and heard the kirtan and heard the class. So yes, it's just very, very encouraging to hear your class and saying, yes, we don't take it so lightly, you know.
Yeah, so, thank you. Thank you for going. And actually that boy came in to the lobby yesterday and he actually got a Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, he said, I want to know. I said, you want to know more? I was asking him his first time, yes, and then yeah, I want to learn about this. What is this? And he was talking, and then Mitra Sen Prabhu also talked to him, and he actually got a Gita. Theo, his name was Theo. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, please go in. Oh, Theo means God. Yeah, like theocracy. Yes. Jai. Hare Krishna. Granth Rashi Mad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.